From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Does anybody know what number the Parker Livecast is?
24.
Wow. Clicking them off.
25.
That's a good, nice round number.
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
And this is the Get the Boys Back in the Studio edition. It's been a little while. Let's catch up. Mike, what have you been up to?
Just enjoying the warm weather. And
nice springtime.
Starting to go boating a little bit.
Right. You know. Hey, well, last time I saw you, I was way upriver, and you were heading up to Laughlin, maybe, or somewhere like that on the bike?
Yeah, bike ride, the Laughlin River ride, probably.
Maybe so, yeah. We were going for a little hike back, you know, the back way to the Desert Bar behind River Island?
Mm-hmm.
We went a little hike up there instead of like quadding it or jeeping it or whatever, we went on a hike. It was a pain in the ass. It's like a lot of hills.
It's like 17 hours, too, isn't it?
Yeah. We didn't get very far, but I did see a coyote that was pretty cool. It was pretty close. I saw a bobcat last week.
Wow.
Down at the preserve, and the guys say that work down there, the guys say that it's always there.
Hmm.
It's this big old bobcat.
Apparently, they're a solitary creature.
Yes, I've heard that they like to roam alone,
mm-hmm.
If you will. Anyway, and you had your guest from the Netherlands?
Yep, Dutch girl. She's fun. She's actually coming back Saturday.
Is that right? Yeah. Already?
Yep.
Hey, so she must have really liked it in America. Was it her first trip or no?
Oh, no. She's been coming here for, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Once a year, but now this is going to be her second trip this year.
Where's she from?
Fourth within the last year. She lives east of Amsterdam, about 2 hours.
There you go.
Did she give you wood and shoes?
Wooden shoes.
Hey.
No, but she did give me some nice coffee mugs that have those little style shoes
good.
On them.
Oh, let me ask you this, though. Is she coming back because she likes America or because she likes Mike?
I think a little both.
A little both, yeah.
Yeah, but she digs Americana stuff, you know.
Well, you know, because whenever I came back at first, you know, I'm from Ireland, you know, same kind of country over there, you know, kind of
right.
Western Europe,
yeah.
You know. They're all about the same. And they're, you know, all about 50s and 60s in the afternoon, you know, every single afternoon in the summer.
Oh, yeah, it's just dreary there all the time, cold. And
right. And so when I first came back, it was a little bit of America, but it was a little bit about the girl, you know. It was a lot about the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she loves, you know, Harley Davidsons and going fast in boats and mm-hmm. loud, obnoxious horsepower stuff.
Well, you're the perfect guy.
Shooting guns.
Nice.
Yeah.
Things that she probably can't do over there.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd get arrested doing, you know, ride my Harley, you get arrested.
Right.
Driving one of my boats, you'd get arrested. You know, shooting guns, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You get thrown
question.
In prison.
Doesn't man. Really make me want to visit that part of the country.
The only thing you can do there is go look at windmills or something.
Oh, yeah. How fun is that?
They're known for a few things. Windmills, weed.
Yes.
Yeah, legal prostitution.
Legal prostitution, right?
Red light. Amsterdam, huh?
Red light district over there.
Yeah, I always say Amsterdam makes Las Vegas look like, you know, child's play Disneyland.
Right, right.
That's an unbelievable city.
Yeah, it's an interesting
country. Where are we going?
Interesting
Let's
country.
Get over there. What are we doing?
When are we going?
It's fun to walk around and look at, but you don't want to get mixed up with that stuff.
Now, what have you been up to, Josh Savino?
You know, life, man.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were doing the live cast together because we were mm-hmm. doing Kurt Bagby. We talked to Kurt about the whole, I called it the weirdest week of his career. I'm sure you saw, Mike, all this stuff about the skeletons. You were actually the guy, I don't know if you know this, Josh, but Mike told me last week or the week before, you were the guy that was
I called 911 on that.
Yeah, he was the 911 caller.
You were?
But I didn't. It was weird because I was standing there at the launch ramp. Me and my friend Tom had just ran his boat. And this guy comes up with a ghostly look on his face and goes, can you call the police? I don't have a cell phone. I go, yeah, what's the problem? He goes, there's a body in the river. I'm like, oh, God. I go, body? And he goes, well, a skeleton. So at first I said, are you sure you saw what you saw? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. So then I asked him, I go, did it have clothes on it? You know, because I'm just trying to reconfirm that, you know, how good he saw it.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, going to be the one calling the cops.
Yeah, it's coming from
my
phone.
By the way, I would really, did you call actually 911?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I figured, you know, I was going to call the non-emergency number, but
well,
I thought,
you know,
this
that's...
is pretty, I immediately thought, you know, maybe a murder and someone tossed a body in the river. Or,
yeah.
You know, and then when he said it was a skeleton, I was thinking, well, God, how long has it been down there?
Right.
You know, 10 years or something.
So Isn't this hilarious? Mike is a part of this story.
Yeah, I had no idea.
That went like global all over the world.
Yeah, well, that was the next thing that I told you was, you know, we have a programming staff in Ukraine, which is halfway around the world.
Yes.
So I go on to their news station, Ukraine Today, all the time. Mm-hmm. And they rarely ever do outside stories. About 3 days later, a grimly sight in La Paz County. So, the video.
It was the story that went everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Josh, let's do a public information request for Mike's 911 call. And air it on the next live cast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear the tone of his voice.
I want to hear it too.
Maybe he too is concerned.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if this guy's just, you know, blasted out on hallucinogenics or something.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Did you know the guy?
No, but I guess he's, you know, he's a younger guy. I would say, you know, mid 20s or so. And
right.
He was just like, I'm not going to go snorkeling and anymore by myself.
It's
and I told him he did the right thing, you know. I mean,
yeah. Oh,
well, I went down the Friday after our podcast.
Yeah, Josh went down there
scuba diving, and I went and saw the skeletons and hung out with them and took a bunch of GoPro footage with John's GoPro. And dude, they are so. That is a perfect place for them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I hope and as they said, they're going to leave them there. And they are.
I think
there.
What everyone should do is just not say where they're at. Just keep it mysterious.
Yeah. Keep it.
I think
it,
so too.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, I haven't told anybody the exact location, but
I think based on my insider knowledge I know pretty close. I think I could probably go right there, but I'm not gonna say anything.
It took a little while to find it, even with Buckskin Fire telling us where it was. It takes a little while because there's so many rocks down there,
right?
Submerged tree trunks and
big
huge
rock.
Catfish, by the way, like a 50-pound catfish is hanging out by the skeletons.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Man, they're making friends apparently.
Well, I heard those catfish are down there, and I always think about them when I'm in the water.
Yeah.
Not that they would ever.
No,
you know,
they don't
do
come up. They don't come up.
And it's in a. I think the way it looks is it's deep enough that if you tried to just dive down and look for it with a snorkel, you'd have a hard time getting down
deep
enough to clearly see them. So, I think what the guy did was he dove down and got about halfway down there and just saw the skull. Part of it, you know, because that was looking up. Because he said, "Well, what was it like?" He goes, "It was looking up at me."
Yeah,
he goes, "I was like face to face."
He saw Bernadette. I saw Bernadette from about 25 feet above because I was about 10 to 15 under, and then I looked, and then the sun came perfectly through the water, and there's just this skeleton just chilling in the chair, and I was like, "Ah, found it,
Bernadette."
Bernadette, dude,
that's
was Bernadette.
Awesome.
Yeah, man,
that's really cool.
What a wacky town we live in.
Oh yeah,
man.
But that's the beauty, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The beauty. And it's also a very Parker thing that the sheriff's office was so cool, you know, didn't really care, thought it was funny. I imagine in a lot of other places it wouldn't have been so cool.
Yeah.
They would have been way
but,
too
soon. But, you know, now they got to let all the dispatchers know that, come on, you know, if it gets reported in on this area that there's a skeleton, that probably not be real quick to respond.
Yeah. Well, I also lost a cell phone between this podcast and the last.
Yeah, tell me that story.
It was down on the river in the valley towards Lost Lake, and I had a bit of a kayak accident.
Oh, boy.
A big old... It was this. I was in my kayak, and I had my little puppy, Shakira.
I was in my kayak.
And we're paddling. In the back of my kayak, I had a Bluetooth speaker. Right, and I had my cell phone, my iPhone in.
What was on it?
I was listening. I think it was Aerosmith.
Oh, okay,
I was listening to some Aerosmith, and in my pocket, I had my cell phone in a dive case, $159 dive case. Right.
Of course.
Yeah, and so I thought that was perfectly safe. Sunglasses, hat. We're paddling along. This big old pontoon comes about 10 feet from me, creates this huge wake. I lose my balance because my dog's trying to jump out. Boom. I'm underneath the water. I'm upside down for a good 45 minutes, I felt. Right? I get up. My poor dog is missing. I flip my kayak over. She was apparently in that little air cavity, you know?
Yeah.
And she's swimming to the shore. Little puppy, like 2.5 months old. She swims great. She gets to the shore, and all of a sudden I realize no sunglasses, no hat, no phone.
Oh, my God.
Lost everything. I went snorkeling for an hour until the sun went down. Went back the next morning, found only the glasses. The phone is still missing out there.
That is
so I had to replace it.
Ouch. That hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It was an expensive weekend.
Well, and you still didn't get it back. So what are you using as a cell phone now?
I have the replacement. I got another iPhone.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. With insurance, it was only $200.
Looks like a five. No, yeah. Four.
It's the same one. I went to the five? Verizon store here, yeah. And they were like, oh, from we did this last week. They ran out of 5Cs, so they're giving everybody 5Ss now. And I was like, sweet. I'm almost glad this happened, you know?
The only
because it's got the thumbprint recognition.
Apparently, they found this in the back.
I love that.
I feel like you guys have a lot of stories. The only mishap that I had in the past couple of weeks, I was driving along. I was on my way to L.A., and I went through the valley here to Ehrenberg and to Blythe and then down on I-10, and I was listening to Gilbert Gottfried, and I think he's hilarious. And I was laughing so hard at Gilbert Gottfried all the way through Blythe and the inspection station and everything, I forgot to fill up gas. I was going to fill up in Blythe.
Oh, don't tell me you ran out of gas.
Well, so I looked down a little bit before Desert Center, and I go, oh, shit, I only got like 15 miles left. And
you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
15 miles to go till you're...
Yeah, do you keep driving to Scirocco Summit?
No, I knew I couldn't make it. So I just went, all right, I guess I'm going to have to pull over. And so I pulled over into Desert Center at the exit there and called, I got the roadside service thing. And I said, hey, I need gas to be sent. And they said, all right, we'll be half an hour. And so I went on a little walkabout at Desert Center. I don't know if you've ever been out there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's a little, old... Do you know what that building is? It's an old... Almost like an old abandoned schoolhouse or community center or something like that.
Yeah, and it's got some glass windows. And
yeah.
There's, almost looks like...
brick building.
And like an antique store or something. There's all kinds of
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So I went walking through all there and took some artsy-fartsy photos of it. And then walked through and there's a little kitchenette and stuff. And so I found a way to pass the time until I got gas. That was my only little mishap. And it wasn't much of a mishap. And I didn't even really panic because I knew I had the roadside stuff. So I was like...
Does it take 30 minutes?
Yeah. I go, this is going to put me back about an hour. Turned out it was only about half an hour. Mm. But
thank goodness for that roadside
proves that
assistance.
You're human.
Yeah.
I was getting worried.
Then I was in LA at the weekend, and I went to a place called Churro Burro, and it was
Churro Burro.
Yeah, and I'll show you a picture here. Look at this. So they make an ice cream sandwich with flattened out churros in the end.
Why, hello.
So it's a churro ice cream sandwich.
That looks like about 3,000 calories.
Yeah, it's really good, man. And it started life as a food truck, and it's like the food that social media created, because people saw it from the food truck and people would take a selfie with their little churro ice cream sandwich, and eventually it goes viral, and now they have a full time store in Los Feliz.
Let's use the Hefe filter on this one. It makes it look even more delicious.
Right. And then I was at a party on Sunday night for Bart Campolo, the one guy that I'm doing a film on right now. And I had to meet some of the people in his life and stuff as part of this party. This party was being thrown for him as a friend raising, they called it, to try to get connections for him and stuff. And so I'm using all those same connections now to try to get ahead with this film a little bit and all of that.
Neat.
But it was a good thing. And it's funny, I was telling Josh before we came on, I must have had deep conversations with at least 10 people there, at the party over the course of the night. And 8 of them out of 10 knew Parker and the Parker Strip, came out here, knew what it was, knew what Havasu was and everything. If you do that same party in Phoenix, because I was at a party in the Hollywood Hills, and the Hollywood Hills are really nice.
Yeah.
But if you had that same thing, you'd have that same exact conversation with people in Phoenix, I'd say maybe 2 would know, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's not
strange. When I go to Phoenix, 2 people, or even anywhere in Arizona, Tucson, wherever. Where are you from? Parker, Arizona. Where is that?
Yeah, where is that?
Do they ever say, is that by Payson? I get that sometimes. Is that up by Payson? No, we're not up by Payson.
All I had to say was Parker, and they go, oh, it's south of Havasu, right? And I go, yeah.
The skeletons.
The skeletons.
The skeletons, right?
Oh, you mean Bernie?
You mean Bernie and Bernadette?
Yeah. Speaking of Desert Center, did you see that tornado a few weeks ago that touched down near Desert Center? They said it was a confirmed thing. And
damn.
Yeah, you know what? I saw a tornado not quite as spectacular as that one. But once out, kind of south of Rice, I was driving across the desert when there was storms like that, and it was. Yeah, so we get them out there, and then that video that I made from last year, one touched down on the other side
in the Whipple Mountains.
Yeah, and tracked across towards Havasu, and then that's what took out all the telephone poles and stuff there.
Right. I remember that on the south end of town.
Yeah. We do have some crazy weather here.
Yeah. So we do have some crazy weather. Well, a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember this, Josh, Joaquin and I were taking a bike ride, and we went down, and we knew that there were a lot of clouds and stuff around, and it was feeling a little bit stormy and stuff, but it was fine. I mean, it was still sunny in Parker. So we went down into the valley at Four Corners, then made a left. You know the usual route. Up by
hospital.
By the hospital to the end of Mojave Road, and then down past Bradley Chevrolet and into the town of Parker. Did that whole thing. And when we reached the main intersection in town, I think that's about, 6 miles, maybe something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Six, seven. So I go, how about we keep going? So, and
Yeah, you take a ride at the light.
Take
and
a ride at the light.
Go down 95 towards the dump.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Past the casino.
Past the casino and then back down.
Yeah.
So it's a little, it rounds it out to about 10 miles bike ride. So we do that. We go all the way out past the Blue Water Resort and Casino up here on Highway 95. And then we're coming back down. And we're almost to town. And I'm telling Joaquin a story. And it's fairly calm. Like, I'm yakking away. You know, I'm telling him something that happened. And in the middle of my conversation, he interrupts me and he goes, go, go, go. And he takes off in front of me. And I go, what the fuck is going on? And I look over to the side and, oh, my God, there's like a black cloud next to us. And I look and there's
Holy
like this
crap.
Cloud to ground lightning. The rain starts hitting me from the side. Like it's
Jeez.
Yeah, it's just and the whole road flooded. I had to I was planning on just, you know, battling all the way through, going all the way back to his house. Couldn't make it. I had to duck into USA Gas.
Yeah, the little gas. Yeah,
so he kept going,
Facebook.
Though.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
I made a little video there of like all the rain just hitting, and I'm laughing my ass off because I was soaked, you know?
Meanwhile, he's still on the bike trying to get back to Club Laguna.
Yeah. And I mean loud thunder, sheets of rain, strong gusts of wind, the streets turned to rivers, cloud to ground lightning.
It was a Saturday evening about sunset.
Yeah, you remember that, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was a good one.
Where the heck was I?
Yeah.
I was dry.
I don't know where you were. Yeah, you were dry, man.
I was dry.
And believe me, you
were. I know, and I was in Phoenix. I was seeing the boys. I've been going there a lot lately.
Yeah.
Like almost like every other weekend, I feel like I'm in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's starting to take its effect, man. That is a long. That is just tedious. Oh, God.
You fed up with the drive?
Oh, man. Yeah, it kills me, dude.
Heinous.
That drive is just a drag.
Mm-hmm. It is a drag.
Yeah.
House gutted in fire. This is a sad story because the girl is a single mom. She has two really young kids. Like, one is 3 and the other is still like a little infant, like a few months old. And so the family has been seeking help and looking for a home for them.
How single is she?
You know, she's a single mom.
Okay. Does she owe 3 years of back rent to Crit?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did. Amazing.
So, first of all, I know a little bit about the background of that video. Mike Kirsch was the correspondent. This is a guy that's been on, you know, like the CBS Evening News as a correspondent. He's been like in war zones and, you know, it's like Brian Williams going, and now over to our correspondent, Mike Kirsch, and everything I'm about to say is a lie.
I'm here in Parker, Arizona.
Yes. Here we are in Parker, Arizona. There is a skeleton at the bottom of the river. I'm not making this shit up. So Mike Kirsch came out here a whole bunch of times. He took months and months to make that 12-minute video. And it was really good, right? He did a good job.
It was, yeah, informative.
Not a single comment on Parker Live updates Facebook page. Not a single one was on the side of the guy that didn't pay his rent. Every
nothing
single
disparaging against the tribes, right?
One was on the tribe's side on this one.
Yeah.
You say, hey, you signed an agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sign your name to something, you got to do it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so here was the big news to me. The tribes took like 20 years. Like this is how many chances they gave him. They didn't evict him for 20. He hadn't paid 20 years of rent.
Jeez.
And they didn't evict him. Can you imagine how much he owes them?
Jeez, this guy screwed the pooch.
Yeah,
dude.
Now you wonder how that works because if it's on tribal land, they have their own judicial system. So, I mean, can the tribal put a lean against his credit rating and all that kind of stuff that would happen in our court system?
I don't know. I think it was in federal court. I might be wrong on that.
The reservation's a sovereign nation, so they kind of have their own laws and their own judicial system. And
if you signed that agreement and then you didn't hold up your end of it, in any court, in any jurisdiction, anywhere in the world, that is mm-hmm. not allowed. Like, you can't do that. You can't just squat.
Yeah, an agreement's an agreement.
You then become a squatter, right? Yeah. So everyone's...
But he had to have known what it was, right? 20 years ago, when he got there, he's like, okay, I am under the understanding that this is not my land. This is a leased property from the Colorado River Indian Tribe.
Yeah, but see, I think what
at some point he changed his mind.
At some point, what happened was there was this movement that this isn't really Crit land. We're going to challenge it. I think he thought he was going to be some kind of a hero, like he was going to break some new ground by showing that Crit had no authority on that side of the river or something.
Yeah, because I think there is some vagueness about when the reservation was set up so long ago. It was like from Needle Mountain to Black Mountain. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was, from what I've read, it was wherever you can see a man standing at. So that's why, like, up near where we live, where Beanpot Hill, mm-hmm. if you go over that rise there, and if you ever drive up the road that goes to Beanpot Hill, when you spin around, it aims right for Needle Mountain. So it was very vague about what was the reservation land way back when.
Like, they didn't have GPS, right?
Yeah, and they didn't say anything about the west side of the river. So all of that's very vague. So I think there was a whole movement on that side of the river was, oh, no, we're not on reservation land.
Right, right.
We're part of San Bernardino County, because San Bernardino County does do some taxation around there, I believe. Mm-hmm. And also, I think they built a school down there that was, I think it's abandoned.
No,
but if
ahead.
You sign a contract with Crit that you're going to pay them rent, you're acknowledging that I'm on your land here and I'm signing contract to it. I mean, dude. Yeah. Do the right thing.
Yeah. Pay the rent, man. Yeah.
Everybody says that. Pay your rent. Oh, my God. Thank you for a repost. This is an important article and so timely. Pay your rent and respect the law on Crit lands. Get your land back. Kick them out for non-payment. Not your land. Pay your rent or go. I mean, it's unanimous.
And it's not like it's all tribal members saying that.
Oh, no. In fact, some people say that they're not. For example, pay up, sucka. Non-native here, but they have my support 100%.
Dude, that's great to hear.
Not paying them, you are nothing than a deadbeat squatter and deserve to have yourself run out of there. So, yeah, people, it's kind of unanimous online, man.
I really, really felt sorry for that nice flat-bottom boat burned up into, I was like, oh.
Now, that is a mysterious thing.
That's the victim right there.
That's the victim.
You know, the whole story, that poor boat.
Yeah, so how did the thing burn down? The tribes kind of imply that he did it, and then he implies that the tribes did it.
Man, you'd have to be really crazy to burn down your beautiful flat-bottom boat.
I wonder what happened.
It's one of those, I would rather have it dead than... Blah, blah. It's the same reason why people drown their children when they're... Like why do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, I would soon rather not have anyone else have you.
I'll tell you another crazy controversy that happened on Parker Live, and that was the this Gonzalez story.
Did you see that? Whole uprising about that with the family. And
yeah. So, I mean, it was a really weird experience for me, because all I did was post pretty much the information provided from the U.S. attorney in Phoenix.
You shared a link.
In a press release. Yeah, essentially, yeah.
You shared a link.
You reported the news.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I heard all weekend long. I mean, I'm telling you, not an hour passed by where somebody, one of the family or someone who knew him or whatever, this guy was sentenced for child abuse, essentially, to about 11 years in prison. Think a little bit over 11 years in prison.
That's going to be some hard time right there, because in the big house, they do not like people that are bad to children.
So I hear all weekend long, take it down. This is not, I mean, I wish I could read you some, maybe I can read you some of the comments, but it's all about like pleading, like, please, you know, please take it. I mean, think of the children and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is just news. It's the same that the Pioneer are reporting. It's the same that anyone mm-hmm. else reports anytime any one of these kinds of stories happen.
It is because people actually read Parker Live. Maybe that's...
And see, that was interesting to me. Everyone said, they started to say things like, well, yeah, but those ones aren't on Facebook. And I thought, oh, you mean that people actually share the stuff that I put up?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a relevant news source?
You mean it's a thing that people find useful? That's all it's saying to me, the fact that you're actually seeing it, that it's visible. So I put up a sort of a thing about it, and I was glad to see most people supported what I said, which was basically, look, I think it's newsworthy. I think it's news. At the same time, this is a human story, you know? And there's an element here where I don't know if the guy's guilty or innocent. He pleaded guilty, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just means that in the legal system, you know, sometimes there's all kinds of things that go on. But it's not...
He's guilty.
These two guys think he's guilty. But
why would you plead guilty to anything that you didn't do?
But
especially... Especially that.
But
I mean,
it does
molestation.
It does
child.
Happen. I will just say this. It does happen.
Dude, maybe with marijuana or like drugs.
No, it happens for things like murder because people get railroaded. People think that either they're going to face the potential of a jury deciding that even though they're innocent, a jury going to trial and a jury deciding that they're going to be there for life, or they accept this plea agreement in 11 years and they don't risk it. It's almost like a classic gambler's dilemma.
Yeah, but dude, look what comes with this. You have to be registered,
I know,
as a sex offender for the rest of your mortal existence.
Yeah, and besides that, you have to do what's right. I mean, you do the battle.
If I'm innocent, I will fight that till my death, dude. Come on. I will strangle the judge and be like, I did not do this. Seriously, don't send me to the big house.
And I would like to think that I would, too. All I'm saying is that there's at least a chance, call it a 2% chance, if you will.
Lower.
That the guy is innocent. And who knows? I mean, he might be as guilty as sin. My whole point was that's irrelevant. This is just news, and I'm saying I'm passing along.
John has a very.
It wasn't like he was being waterboarded, you know. Like we're trying to get this out of you. Did you do it?
Dick Cheney
was
going
to waterboard you another 20.
Dick Cheney wasn't waterboarding.
<Come on. laughs>
Yeah. You look at things from a very, and you really, if there's anybody that can be non-partial and not involve emotion on anything, it's John.
I try not to be judgmental.
Yeah. I hear that as having children. I'm like, that guy did what? Screw him, dude. All right, let's all get in our trucks and gas up and go drive. Like, that's where I go emotionally.
What were you going to say, Mike?
Oh, I was going to say, did you see all the heat that guy got in Saturday Night Live about making the jokes about child molestation?
Oh, Louis C.K., he's a genius.
Yeah, and that was kind of interesting. I was like, oh, that should be taboo, this subject, you know?
Oh, people are so ridiculous, dude.
I know.
I love Louis C.K. That guy's a genius.
Yeah. Pushing the limit.
If anyone can do it's him, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Is there anything else we didn't touch base? Oh, let's talk about the tube float before
that
we go.
That is coming up. The next Parker Livecast will definitely be all about tube float.
Yes.
Or certainly a majority of it will be about tube float. But
all
that is coming
float.
Up Saturday, June 6th. Register now, parkerfun.com. I'm getting a lot of calls every day. The chamber's been bombarded with questions, of course.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you have to pay. It is a registered event.
Mm-hmm.
You are amongst an event that benefits a nonprofit, so you do have to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, can we force you to pay? No. But if someone on the water, as far as an assist vessel or law enforcement, sees you without a bracelet, you could be asked to leave.
Could I
escort you out if time allows.
Could I put it this way?
Yeah.
If you pay, there are some benefits.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pay, bad karma. And it's only $10 to pay.
Dude.
So who cares?
Bucks. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't want to pay, then just go all the way up to the dam and float down.
Float
up
down that way.
I did a little.
Or come back the next weekend and do it.
I did a little guide to the tube float called.
To float down the tube on a normal.
Well, this is what they're saying, because we're also providing a completely shut off event area. That's $10 gets you the guarantee that you will not be run over by a boat, you will not be hit by a jet ski. You will
be
assisted.
It's not going to guarantee any of that.
Well, no. Not 100%. But
the 2% odds that that guy wasn't guilty, this is the odds that you have of not being run over.
Higher.
I did a little article, 10 Ways to Master the Tube Float. You can check that out in the meantime. And then we'll be back with some more details and some other fun stuff about the tube float.
Good.
I would like to...
Memorial weekend.
That is this weekend.
A couple days away.
Summer kickoff. Summer kickoff.
My intuition is it's going to be a very busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. This coming, the Memorial Day?
I think so. The weather's been kind of dreary everywhere, you know, last couple weeks and stuff. I think a lot of the California people are going to
get ready to rock.
It'd be good. It'd be good for the economy.
And the weather this coming weekend
is
going to be the best weather I can remember for a Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, like mid-90s, I think.
Ever. It's starting off in the upper 80s, and Monday it's projected to be 93. Let's see, Friday.
Perfect.
Friday,
excellent.
80. 82
and
degrees
the
for the high.
Nice too.
86 Saturday, Sunday 90, Monday 93. How about
beautiful.
That? That is a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. I'll be up at Roadrunner working a Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
Are you going to be doing DJing and stuff? Yep. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
They're doing wet t-shirt contests too.
What time?
Those usually take place around 4 o'clock, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You're not going to be operating the Peter meter, are you?
No, I will not. No Peter meter this year.
I don't understand. Now,
don't understand. That's a classic from Sundance.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Later.
Good night.